Let's continue with our work. But before, I'd like to make two remarks. First, I forgot to say at the beginning of the seminar that this seminar is being webcasting in our website, and have sent an email to all ECPRD correspondents with a link from where they could follow the seminar. I've just put the link inside here. We have a webcast in the three cameras here decided for our television channel, internal television channel, and the image is captured and sent to the website. So probably from your countries, many people may be seeing you making presentation or following discussion. Second remark concerns the evaluation form. Once again, and I do insist on this because your feedback is very, very, very important for us. It's with this feedback that we try to get better. Probably the most important point of the website, of the evaluation form, is what would you like to be discussed in the next year seminar, Parliament on the Net, so that we could start working on it from tomorrow up to May, when we will be meeting in Hague with Piet in the Netherlands. And now, Piet is going to make a presentation.
You are.
No, now it's me, sorry. I'm going to make a presentation, and my presentation now deals with the result of the questionnaire we have submitted some 2-3 months ago related with the ECPRD website. How mature are our website? It was a questionnaire very easy, and I don't know whether in your countries the response was mostly sent by you or by your correspondent or by someone else in your parliament. Okay, let us see what is the result. Okay, on the agenda of this presentation, we'll start by giving you information about the structure of the analyzed sample to know to how approximately is it with the reality. We could have reply from about 65% of parliament, so we have a good representation of the universe of ECPRD Parliament. We have put 10 questions, very easy questions, where we required yes or no for the answer, and if yes, please give a small detail so that we find who are doing and what people are doing. We started with the first question concerning contents available in more than one language. We know many parliaments in Europe has more than one official language, but we are also concerned about contents available in, let's say, the most speaking ones, international language like English or French. So we try to have replies on this. Websites compliant with the W3 consortium standards, okay? We are thinking about, person with disabilities. Right, we know many of our parliaments are very, very concerned with contents available not for people, for a normal citizen, but also for those who has any kind of disability. On question 3, this is a most technical question when you talk about the structure and the functioning of your website. but its result is completely social. Social network, I mean contents that, I mean, provides communication with member of parliament and citizen, I mean, contents based on what we call Web 2.0 platform. This is the question where the score of no was higher than any other one. It is, we understand this is a new philosophy of developing contents, and many of our parliaments has not developed contents in this field as much as we could expect or as much as we want. At the survey, we tried to know also which parliaments are working on tools that allow them to identify users' profile. It's very important to know who are those who mainly fetch the information we provide, and what group of society do they belong? Are they lawyer? Are they journalists? Are they students? Are they scientists? Are they professor? Are they so on? Normally, we don't care for this kind of business in the civil servant business or at the government office. You know, in the private sector, when you talk about products and marketing, this is the first priority. You need to know your client so that you can provide him with what are their perfect needs. This is, I know some parliaments have done some good things on this, but we will see the result. On question five, we wanted to know those parliaments that have ongoing projects to revise their website. And we want to find out what is the average duration of a website in the parliament's member of the ECPRD. How frequently do you revise your website? When you talk about revising, of course, it's not to kill this one and build a new one, but to give a new face, to change, to adapt the website to the needs of your users, the citizens of your country. And question six is related with contents for specific citizen groups. We wanted to know which are the good practices in the ECPRD websites that have developed much more websites directed for specific citizens. We know some countries as minorities, some countries as several political divisions, some countries as so many different organizations of people that may reserve or may, people that deserve certain special attention because they belong to a special group. This is a good concern, and we understand and we think that the parliament should be aware of that too. Contents published on open standard format, okay, this is a problem. Sometimes we call it a small war with big proprietors, the developer of software. We know the problem with Microsoft and the European community. We know a lot of problems with standards and how is it going on. But we feel happy that many, many ECPRD websites are very well concerned in developing much more content, respecting open source format. You say you don't need to have only Internet Explorer to see information in a website. You need it must be transparent for any browser, the contents we publish, as well as exchange of information for those who have been contributed at the IPEX group. Probably they have already faced it because IPEX is using as XML as standard, and everything is developed on this way. On question eight, content that might promote transparency. I think transparency is one of the words that we have been talking much more during this seminar because it's important, and we need to know where are the good practices of subjects in this field. Question nine, questions, contents that might promote participation of the citizen. Okay, when you talk about participation of the citizen, of course we are expecting them to take much more part at the legislative process and all other activities developed in the parliament. Question 10 is is almost a, what you call a summary, a question that summarizes. Do you feel we ask the colleagues to let them to give us their opinion if they think their website is contributing to approach the parliament to the citizen. Well, it depends upon what the level of requirements of excellence of any of each parliament. Okay, now and then we see the conclusion. Starting on the structure, the ECPRD parliament, we are 47 countries with 63 chambers and 3 non-parliamentary websites. You say you're talking about the European Parliament, non-national parliaments. I say European Parliament, Council, Council of Europe, the Assembly of Council of Europe, and Assembly of Western Europe. Number of replies we had 42, so we got 64% of representation for this sample. The questions are organized as these. The green side shows yes. Contents available in more than one language. Okay, 90% of parliaments have questions, have their contents available in more than one language. I also tried to precise the results, bringing the internet domain of those who have responded yes on the right side and those who have responded no on the left side. The yellow one is, of course, referring to the situation of Portugal. As you can see, the ECPRD website, in what concerns, presentation or publication of contents in more than one language, we can feel that we are okay. But listen, normally we are referring to static contents. When you go to dynamic contents, okay, it's not easy because we cannot have our databases translated in 3 or 4 languages. It's almost impossible, all right? Question 2, websites compliant with the WC consortium regulation, okay? We have 60% of yes, 40% of no, and the distribution is like this. You can follow this in a more precise or detailed way and find out where your country are and what is the reply. I don't know exactly which of you have replied to this question, but probably many of the present have done their reply directly or submitted to any other officer in their parliament. Question 3, this is the one where we need to develop much more our effort. Only 90% of parliament answered that they are doing things that can be considered as a Web 2.0 platform recommendation. Okay? Are those this parliament on the right side, and the no structure is on this side. Question 4, survey to identify users' profiles in the near future. We have the situation like this, 43% yes and 57% no, and the table of yes or no are distributed like you can see. Question 5, ongoing project to revise the website. Well, 64% is considering or have ongoing project to revise the website. This is good, because whenever you revise your website, you are bettering the solution. You are bringing new content, better accessibility, better standards, and then you are, in other words, approaching the website and the parliament to the citizens. So this is a good remark when we have it like this. Question 6, contents for specific citizen. This is citizens group. This is a very special. We had 88% of parliament saying that, yes, they are doing contents for specific citizen group, but when we look for presentation on this subject precisely, we had no presentation. So probably we need to do better our homework in the organization of the seminar and probably in the calling for contribution in order to bring those who say, okay, I have, then, okay, come and show us. We would like to learn with you what you are doing better than us in the countries at least. Question 7, contents published in open standard format. It's almost 50%, which is good, but I remember when at the beginning of this decade, when we have been doing lots of seminar ICT in Parliament, open source software was one subject that has been discussed almost in all seminars. And we discussed this subject in a very deep way that could, of course, provide the results we have here. The countries are like this, as you can see, those who are publishing content in standard format. Question that might promote transparency, okay? Talking about transparency tools, this is the high scored one. Almost everyone, you don't need to have all features of transparency in your website. We need to have at least a few features saying that you are promoting transparency. Only this is the Belgian House of Representatives, I believe. Yeah?
Yes, and it's a mistake, so it should be all green. It's definitely yes.
But it's according to the questionnaire we received.
Yes, I know, it's a mistake. So
it was a mistake. Yeah. Okay, thank you very much. Question 9, content that might promote participation of citizens. Okay, the distribution is like this, 50% almost for each side, yes or no. And the question 10, website contributes to bring, this is much, it's a self-evaluation of, okay, I think my website contributes to bring Parliament closer to the citizen. Sometimes, even if I only publish the very, very basic information, I believe that it contributes. So this is a quality self-evaluation question than a specific subject question. So the score is like this. Almost everyone said that they are developing their solutions and printable. The global results is like this. You can see, and this, the arrow shows where we are worse, on what we need to work much more in order to get better results. The top 12 are Poland, House of Representatives, Sejm, I don't know whether I'm pronouncing it well, but same, they said that they satisfied the 10 questions. So this can be a very, very good example for a parliament to organize one of the forthcoming seminars. Because if the parliament is satisfying all subjects, it means that there's something there that we should consider good practice. So I think no one from SAEM is here, but I'll promise you to send an invitation letter to for the Poland House of Representatives, telling them that according to their reply to the questionnaire, we would like to consider if they can organize the seminar of 2011. And the second group, we have countries that satisfied 9 of the 10 questions. And we have Bulgaria, European Parliament, the Netherlands, the Chamber of Representatives, that is very well positioned because Pete is going to organize next year's seminar, and the UK House of Commons also have 9 figures with satisfaction, yes. And the third group of 7 parliaments which have replied to, satisfied 8 of the 9 questions as yes, you can see are those over here. So I think there is no need of making any special consideration on this. And conclusion one, almost all ECPOD parliaments, I think more than 90%, develop contents that might promote transparency, and they also publish in other languages besides the national ones, okay? Around 90%. With this question, this conclusion relates to question 1 and question 8. Conclusion 2 is approximately 2/3 of the parliament have projects to revise their website in a very near future. This is also a good conclusion, let's say, in such facts. About 60% of ECPRD parliament's website can be used by person with disability, okay, which is also quite good, okay. Then, more than 80% of parliament do not offer services based on Web 2.0 platform. This is clear. This is one of the figures probably that we would like to be deeply discussing in the next year's seminar at the ECPRD concerning parliaments on the net. Conclusion 5 relates with 3 questions, question 4, question 7, and question 9. That means around 50% of the parliaments do have profile of user frequent. They have solutions to identify the profile of users that frequently use their website. They publish contents on open standard format, and they believe that their website promotes participation to the participation of the citizen in the legislative process. And last conclusion is nearly 80% of ECPRD parliaments develop contents on specific groups and believe that these contents can contribute to bring parliament closer to the citizen. This is the result of your work, and I believe that this is one of the key of success of the ECPRD network. It's quite easy to submit a question. Almost all parliaments replies and give answers, and I'd like really and sincerely to say a good word to Ulrich, who is the architect of this work, and would you clap hands for the organization of ECPRD network and for all questions we have been submitted and the results that comes along with them in a very, very short time. I believe concerning parliamentary business, I don't believe there is in the world any other network that is functioning so efficiently and so with so very good results like this. Okay? Thank you very much for your attention, and of course we are ready for questions you consider useful. Thank you. Okay, there are no questions. That means that the results of the questionnaire just says the reality, and we will reflect on those results later on according to what is considering specific case of each parliament. Then we jump to the last presentation for this morning, and I call my big friend Pete to make a presentation on standards for parliamentary websites.
Thank you. It's an honor to be able to have the last presentation of today. After lunch we will sort of follow everything up and practically prepare for next year. Please allow me to say something about on the most recent developments on guidelines for parliamentary websites. It has been mentioned. on guidelines for data produced by parliaments and the use of these data by the present community of internet users. I would also like to take this opportunity to sort of launch next year's seminar, Parliaments on the Net 8, which will be held somewhere in May, because May is our best month, in The Hague. Try to build bridges between Lisbon and The Hague. This will not be the type of presentation you are used to, but rather some thoughts and ideas from someone who experienced the last 2 decades of internet developments not as an ICT or a communication professional. An interested eyewitness outside the playing field. I would like to call myself a spectator. With this presentation, I hope also to provoke some thought. A short history. Rather late, in the late 90s, parliaments seriously considered the internet as a possible new medium to spread their message. In these early years, it was not yet clear what that message should be and how it should be brought to the internet users. It was a pioneering period with a lot of trial and error. We met regularly and informed each other of our experiences in the Parliaments on the Net seminar series. Now, the internet presence of Parliament, we've just seen it, at least in Europe, has matured, and it is very good and very timely that the series of seminars is revised. Thank you, João, for taking the initiative. Despite the sometimes substantial differences in political systems, practices, and history, a more or less general practice has evolved during the years. The universal laws of the internet, of course, also apply to parliamentary websites that we discovered. Most parliaments have now designed a website of what I would like to call the second generation, and you see that the appearance, the look and feel of website of parliaments grow more closely together toward each other. To prove this in a sort of scientific way, I made a random sample of a dozen or so parliamentary sites throughout Europe, undiscriminatory, and if I display them quickly one after the other, you'll see this. We all went white. That's one scientific result. So even if you had your website professionally designed by outside professionals, and regardless possible usability tests, the layout, the look and feel, color scheme, and content of parliamentary website in Europe have clearly developed in a similar direction. Allow me to make a remark. The internet has evolved as well, and maybe quicker than we can manage. The new buzzwords are Web 2.0, 3.0, yesterday I saw 4.0. Our parliamentary administrations, however, with their traditional organizational structures and our bureaucratic thinking, has difficulty to cope with this. It has already been so difficult to position such a new medium in an existing organization. Some parliaments, the day-to-day operations of the website are in the ICT department, in some in the communications department, others in the information department. And if you would ask each of us personally, I don't think any of these positions is considered ideal. In fact, we may all agree that the positioning of the maintenance of the content of the website does not fit in our rather 19th century organizational structure. That we have a 19th century organizational structure is not a shame, because our parliamentary system is a 19th century invention. The parliamentary system hasn't developed very much. So, logically, the administrative organization around this parliamentary system has a 19th century structure. Maybe it is time that someone looks into that. Next, I would try to focus on two developments. One is the demands of users. The other is the developments around guidelines for parliamentary websites in the Interparliamentary Union and the United Nations. User demand. The call for open, transparent, and complete data of governments and parliaments alike by a mature community of users, of internet users, is universal. The society of users has matured rapidly, and they voiced their demands, rightfully, I think so. They are in general very vocal with their views. They know how to make themselves heard, through the internet, of course. In the Netherlands, we have a rather large group of bloggers who has become quite influential and critical. Rick mentioned them. They call themselves Sargasso. They have produced a set of demands they think the website of a parliament should contain. Not just documents, but, and I mention a few, video registration of all present and past debates, plenary and committee, voting results connected to the item that was voted on, voting records by individual MPs and by political groups, the agenda of committees as well as the plenary directly linked to the documents, all documents published and directly related to the agenda, present and past, and to the decision. A transparent representation of the procedures in Parliament linked to documents and where they are in the procedure, to name just a few. I'm sure there is a Sargasso in every country. And everything they say makes sense. And it is right that a mature audience of educated citizens ask better demand this. But where to put our priorities? How to organize for this? How to pay for all this? And there we are in our 19th century organization. In the US, there is open government. I'll mention the www address in my paper, that uses 8 principles, published in 2007. These are very similar to what Sargasso wants. Data must be complete, timely, accessible, non-proprietary, to name a few. This demands a simple and clear set of standards for parliamentary websites and for officials working on parliamentary websites to use. And with these standards, I don't mean technical standards. They are necessary as well, but we are not the audience working on them. Standards, I mean, for content and completeness. But in order to do this, and to make it look acceptable, we need to focus likewise on usability and design. The guidelines, IPU, Interparliamentary Union, the global organization where all parliaments, MPs, presidents, and secretary general meet every year, a few times, I understand. IPU has adopted guidelines, and already in the year 2000 published a document called Guidelines for the Content and Structure of Parliamentary Websites. The link is in my paper. Last month in Addis Ababa, IPU adopted an updated, or better, rewritten version of that was drafted, together with the United Nations, guidelines for parliamentary websites. The good thing is that many of our colleagues, some of them present here, I'm not looking at them, contributed to that new document. That means it has become a very practical document. A document that deserves proper attention, I should think. Copies of it are on the table. But, with due respect, Jeff, the new document, the new version is 32 pages. Such a document, I think, is not a very practical document to work with on a day-to-day basis by the day-to-day professionals. But it also focuses not just on the technical side, but on content, accessibility, etc. And therefore, it is an important document. It may not end up in some lower desk drawer. I'd like to make a proposal. What we need now, in my view, for our day-to-day work is a simple set of, say, 10 practical rules. 10, 12. Rules centered around the core business of a parliament, which are and will remain and will ever be documents, debates, and decisions, the three D's. I would like to talk on this next year in The Hague, and I would propose to put that item on the agenda, to go through the 32 pages of the IPU UN guidelines, and to come up with a number of practical rules where we can check each other against, and where we can convince our Secretaries General that we should be checked against. We will be able, I guess, to find some universal notions for parliaments in Europe. I'm talking Europe, not Africa, Asia. Let me try. I thought up a few. A parliamentary website offers a possibility to ask questions and also to receive a timely answer. The first one is easy. The second one. Second, a parliamentary website contains all parliamentary documents, always full text. A parliamentary website contains video images of all public meetings, always linked to the written documents. A parliamentary website, and we scored good on this, fully complies with the local rules of access for the handicapped, visually and others. A parliamentary website explains the procedures of Parliament and always shows where any given document is in that process. A parliamentary website always easily links debates, past and present, to their proper place in the procedure, to documents, to voting records, and to video and text reports. And finally, and this is a bit technical one, a parliamentary website is always built according to open standards and accessible with any device, on any time and at any place. Who mentioned that? That was mentioned this morning, mobile phones. Yesterday, João started this seminar with the IPU guidelines. I am closing it with the same guidelines. As is mentioned already, I'm very glad to invite you to The Hague, somewhere this time, next year. As far as I'm concerned, we will discuss these standards, among other subjects, and we'll try to agree on them and complete them. But here in Lisbon, we also focus on four other big themes: transparency tools, citizens' participation, specific citizens' group, and the maturity of parliamentary websites. I'm not sure that we dealt with these topics enough the last 2 days, and I'm very much willing to continue the discussions on some of these topics next year. But I very much would like, and not just me, João and the ECPRD, very much would like to hear from you what subjects you want to discuss next year. You filled in the questionnaire, but maybe there's some time after lunch to have a bit of talk on the subjects to be dealt with. We will try to pick a number of items and make an agenda on that and organize a seminar around them. We will put all participants of this seminar on our mailing list and communicate, of course, also through your ECPRD correspondence. We will not be able to give you fado, but we may end up in a wooden shoe dance. I don't know, you never know. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Pete. Of course, that you have your national music, and we don't need to give us fado, but whatever you give us will be good. I know Netherlands has so many good things. Okay, then we are about, finishing our morning work. This morning we tried to be, very disciplined on time. As you can see in the program, we have some more of 20, 25 minutes before the lunchtime. Unless anyone wants to make a question or a remark or commentary or something, otherwise, we will start passing by on the direction to the restaurant. Instead of going outside, we go in the interior building. There are two buildings, one connected to the other. We pass by the Nobel Hall, then to the library, which I would like to show you our library, and what goes through the interior corridor. It's some 800 meters, and then we reach the restaurant. It will be time to expand this 20-25 minutes. Once again, thank you very much for your presentation, for the presenter, and for your participation, for all of you. Thank you.